This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dan Marino joins us on Sports Byline USA, 16 years the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, and of course inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, also inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame after his outstanding career at the University of Pittsburgh, and of course holds the record for most passing yards in a season and also the record for most career passing yards with 61,000 plus. Dan, I was just wondering, after you had been inducted into the Football Hall of Fame, was there a particular moment where you kind of sat back and reflected on your career, reflected on the fact that you're in the Hall of Fame? And I'm just wondering what thoughts and private feelings you had about what you'd done.
Well, you know, I think I kind of went through that before I went up there, and it was so hectic and such a beautiful weekend. You don't, you know, really think about a lot of that while you're there and actually getting inducted. And I thought about it some before, but I guess a couple days after, when I was just back in Pittsburgh and around some family and you know, played golf the one day with my son, and you just sit back and think about all the great things that happened to you in your career and what a, you know, special opportunity you had and so many great players I played with, and to be one of those select few guys to get in the Hall of Fame was so special. And no, you do. You do think back about your coaching, the guys you played high school with in college and all those things, because it's the ultimate honor, you know, to be in the National Football League Hall of Fame with so many great individuals and players and coaches. And it's very humbling, actually, when you sit down and you think about it, all the players and people that have been involved in your career, and they're so special to you that are a part of that. It's a pretty humbling experience.
I had the opportunity of doing the play-by-play at Stanford University when John Elway was there, and, of course, that 83 draft with you and John Elway. Is that something that's just cyclical when a lot of good players come out of one particular draft, do you think?
I guess I would say, yeah, it is. It would be a little cyclical, but you know, you had so many great players in that first round. When you look back, the Hall of Famers that are John, myself, Jim Kelly, Darryl Green, there's just so many good players in that draft that it doesn't come along very often. You know, it really doesn't. And, you know, I think you look back on that, and there was Eric Dickerson also was in that draft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was the 27th player pick, you know, and at the time I thought I might be higher, but when you think about all the great players, you can understand why, you know, the guys drop in the draft or things happen, but that was a pretty special group.
Dan, when you take a look at when you came into the National Football League and you reflect back on that as well, what was the most difficult thing for you as a quarterback to get your hands around and acclimate yourself to? Was it time management? Was it reading defenses? Was it getting the respect of your offensive teammates? What was it?
You know, when I think back about it, I think it was really the adjustment of, you know, not being in a college situation, not being, you know, around where you could find family or friends. You're out there on your own, and, you know, you're in, you know, an NFL training camp or you're playing in games, and just the fact that that's it. You're a rookie, and actually I was playing. I started a lot my rookie year. So the thing I think that helped me the most is when I was with, you know, a veteran guy, Don Shula, coach, that was really supportive in everything as a rookie for me. And then I had some great teammates, had some good players around me. And Don Strock, who was one of our backups, really helped a lot, especially younger in my career, who was, at the time, he was probably a 7-8 year veteran. And he really, you know, got behind me and helped me a lot.
I know when you're a young quarterback, the coach has to do things maybe a little bit differently than when you're that veteran quarterback. But I've always been interested, Dan, in that thin line where a coach, a head coach, has to pat a quarterback on the back or maybe kick him in the butt. What is that thin line?
Well, I think it's every individual's personality and how the coach deals with players. And some guys need to be yelled at. Other guys need to give a little confidence boost. And that's what a lot of coach's job is half of the time, is just recognizing, you know, what the personalities are of players and how to get the most out of those players. I mean, that's really what it is. And some guys can deal with a coach getting in his face and yelling at him, and other guys can't. And it's all just managing personalities, I guess, and people.
Let me share with you a comment that Mike Holmgren made to that same question, because I wanted a coach's perspective on it. Here's what he told me.
The first thing is that you have to let him know you believe in him, first of all. Secondly, you have to know that, let him know that it is never personal, that you're just trying to get the most out of him. And then thirdly, that your expectation level for that position and that young man is very, very, very high. And you're just trying to shoot for the moon. And once he understands that, he'll meet you halfway, and then if he's good enough, you know, then things go well. But it's never personal, and some of the guys can take it. You don't coach them all the same. Some of them can take a little more verbal stuff. Some of them can't. So you kind of figure out what their limit is and then coach accordingly.
One of the things, Dan, that I know is there comes a time between coach and quarterback where both begin to trust each other. Where in your career with Don Shula did that come?
Well, I think for me it happened pretty early because he trusted in me, you know, my fourth game in the NFL to start me against the Buffalo Bills. And that year I ended up going to the Pro Bowl and had a great year. So I think our relationship really started well early on, and it grew over time. And I was just so fortunate to have, you know, a head coach like Don Shula, the same coach for 13 years. And that's so rare right now in the league and rare throughout anyone's career that they have the same guy, the same system, and you can rely on, you know, I could rely on Coach Shula being the way he was and his personality, and I understood what he wanted and what he wanted to get accomplished. So I think that made it a lot easier for me, you know, as a young player.
Dan, one of the things that I saw on television was a wonderful feature about you and your family with your son, Michael, who has a form of autism, and I know that you've given money to the Dan Marino Center. And I wonder if you might just talk a little bit, because it touched me deeply when I saw that piece, a little bit about your son and your interactiveness with him.
Well, first of all, Michael, you know, was diagnosed when he was 2 years old, and he's done really well, mainstreamed, played high school football, he's played some basketball. And if you were to diagnose him now, you probably wouldn't diagnose him, you know, autistic. But he is, I've had a great relationship with him. And I think really where it came down to is for us as a family, you know, when we found out that Michael was autistic, that, you know, we needed to try to do whatever we can, not only to help him, but to help other families in order to help, you know, awareness for families to understand that, you know, early intervention is such a critical factor in everything you're doing with kids when you're dealing with autism, and I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, we were so blessed with Michael, and we try to help out as much as we could.
One of the things that I have found with sports is it gives the people that are involved with it at a high level a discipline, and I think it allows them to have a mindset to deal with challenges in life, particularly physical ones, Dan, in a different way than maybe most of us. Your discipline of playing football, did that help in any particular way in creating the positive atmosphere and an area for Michael?
You know what, I'd like to think so, but I think if you're a father or a mother, no matter what your circumstances are in life, you want the best for your children regardless, and you want to hope that that's the case for that child. So playing football or being in the situation I was, I'm not sure that directly related to any other positive influence over Michael other than the fact that I was a parent my wife wanted the best for him to try to do whatever we could. Now, after that fact, you know, when you're dealing with the foundation raising money because, you know, you're a quarterback and you're in a position where you can help in the community corporately and other things, then, you know, that's where you can help others.
How hard is it to shade your children from the expectations that goes along with somebody of your stature and success in sports?
Well, I mean, I'm not so sure you have to shade it. You just have to make them recognize that everybody's their own individual, and they have to understand that, you know, that's part of the life that we're in our family, and you know what, I've never really tried to make a big deal out of it, and they've, so far, they're pretty good kids, and they're doing good.
I want to ask you about your work on HBO's Inside the NFL and also on CBS's NFL Today show. Those take a particular discipline, and I'm sure that what you had to do when you were preparing for a football game as a quarterback, there is some carryover feature, but what are the disciplines of broadcasting that are similar to or different from playing the game?
Well, I mean, I would say the only, you know, there's a couple disciplines. You have to still study and know, you know, the teams and the games and the names and the faces. And you have to really enjoy what you're doing and have, you know, somewhat of a passion for it and a love for it. And I do. I love the game of football. I think those are the main two, you know, disciplines that you need. And then the other thing is you got to just be yourself and have fun. I mean, that's what the one thing I've always tried is to have fun with what I'm doing, be myself, and enjoy, you know, my partners at CBS and HBO, and it usually makes out for a good television show, and that's what it's all about, is just enjoying it.
Final question, is there anything in your life that you haven't accomplished?
Well, you know, the one thing I look at, you know, I always go back to winning the Super Bowl and did not win a Super Bowl, and that's one feeling I always wish I had, you know, what that would be like, you know, with my teammates to get that feeling. But, you know, there's sometimes you have regrets that way, but I don't have any. You know, I got into the Hall of Fame, and I wouldn't give a Super Bowl up for the Hall of Fame. So, but that's the one thing that I always do think about.
We got about 30 seconds left, but Dan, we're heard worldwide on the American Forces Network in Kuwait, also Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany, all over the world. I'm sure you'd like to send a shout-out to the troops that are listening.
Well, all my family and everybody that I know support everybody there, and just want you to know that we love everybody that's doing the things they're doing for this country. And Ron, as far as what you do, you've been a great American to go over there and help those kids too.
Dan, thank you very much. Give my best to Bob and the rest of the crew at both CBS and also inside the NFL. Take care, Dan.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
NFL Hall of Famer Dan Marino, 16 seasons in the NFL, and as I indicated to you, not only in the Football Hall of Fame, but also in the College Football Hall of Fame as well. And his number 13, was retired by the Miami Dolphins. Most valuable player in the National Football League in 1984, and holds the record for most passing yards in a season and in a career. We continue on Sports Byline.